Good morning, happy Sabbath. As was mentioned, tomorrow is Father's Day, and I just want to say, at least for me, on behalf of the men, I guess, good job, because most men like pens, so we got a pen, and it's got a little measuring, the millimeters, I guess? I think that's millimeters. And inches and millimeters on it, which is cool. And it's got a little, I noticed it has a little level in there too. So I said, okay, we can level things out, you know, that kind of thing. So yes, good job, you know. and on the end, there's a little stylus thing for your computer, your tablet or your phone. So I said, oh, that's pretty good. All right, man, good job. So you are welcome. You're welcome. I will be using this. I'm gonna use it that now. So, good to see everybody. I see some visitors here. So good to see you. Have you been here before? No, first time? Amen. Good to see you. Amen. Amen. Thanks for visiting with us. And everyone that's visiting also on social media. So let's pray if we get started. Father God, we thank you again, Lord, for being such an awesome God. You are our creator, you are our redeemer, and you are our friend. So Lord, be with us, visit us now as we go over your word and commune with you. Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name, amen. So I hope most of you have seen in the bulletin a little flyer was added about the fruit of the Spirit. I had a little picture I wanted to add in there, so I said, okay, let me throw that in there. Thought that would be good. He's got it up there now. So that way anyone watching on social media, you can see that as well. But I just want to mention, whenever I'm up here, you know, we have the war in Ukraine going on. And today is the 479th day of the war in Ukraine. So I keep that in the forefront just to remind me, remind us that we're not at war in this country. But Ukraine is, and they didn't provoke it. It was an unprovoked attack that took place. So just keep that in my mind. But so to the sermon. So the fruit of the Spirit, I'm probably wondering, well, what's Romans 12, 1 and 2 have to do with the fruit of the Spirit? Well, when you read that, it's talking about what? Allow your bodies to be a living sacrifice. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. Because when you sacrifice something, normally in the traditional sense, you burn it and it's gone. But when we give our bodies to God as a sacrifice, we're still alive. We're presenting our bodies a living sacrifice so that he can use us. So we die, what I want is burnt up, and what Christ wants lives through us. And so that's what that's doing. And so when you think about the Spirit, through the Spirit, those things, in order to obtain the fruit of the Spirit, what has to happen? Christ has to be living in us. And we're going to get into that and some other things too. So, but let's just read over them first. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5 and verses 22 through 26. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is, and there's nine things listed, and you can see them on the screen, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. And it says, against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. So all those things that are our sinful nature, we've crucified that. That's gone. And now it is replaced with the fruit of the Spirit. Verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And we know that term when it says to walk in something, that means you're doing it. If you're going to walk with someone, you're walking with them, you're experiencing what they're experiencing. So we want to have that walk with Christ. 26, let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. But when we look at that verse, it says what? The first word is in verse 22 is what? It's but. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit. So if you study grammar and you see that word but in a sentence, if it says, but this is so-and-so, That means you have to go back before, because there's a comparison going on. It says, but this is this. So it's comparing something, it's comparing the fruit of the Spirit to something else. So we have to go back a few verses to see what is it comparing the fruit of the Spirit to. When we go back to verse 16 through 18, it says what? I'm reading from the Clear Word. It says, verse 16, let the Holy Spirit direct your lives, and you won't care about satisfying the desires of your sinful nature. So there's a little hint right there, talking about our sinful natures. We won't want to satisfy those desires. 17, the desires of our human nature and the desires of the Holy Spirit are in conflict with each other. What did Paul say? The things that I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, I do. He's speaking of it there. There's a conflict. The Spirit of God and our sinful spirit is in conflict. There's a battle going on. They're like two powerful forces pulling in opposite directions. So you can't, here's another interesting point. So you can't always depend on what you feel as being the right thing to do. Sometimes something happens and I feel like I want to do this. And that might not be what you should do. Most of you know, some of you don't. I worked at a federal prison for 20 years, and a lot of the inmates there, you know, would tell you stories about how they got there. And a lot of it was because, well, this guy said something about my mama, or this guy said something about my wife, you know, or my, you know, something. And so they felt that they had to defend this person's honor or whatever, and so they commit a crime, they killed someone, did something, and then they end up in prison. So we can't let our feelings dictate what we're going to do. So verse 18, but if the Spirit is leading you, you won't be led to depend on keeping the law as a means of salvation. And I'm going to get to that a little bit later too, because I know the first thing someone may think of, it says, well, we don't have to keep the law anymore. The law is done away with. No, that's not what it's saying. I'll get to that later. So one aspect of the comparison or this conflict, like I said earlier, is the Holy Spirit is trying to take us in one direction, and that is to our salvation. Christ wants us to be saved in his kingdom, right? Because we sinned. We're lost. We're going to end up in the hot place eventually, lake of fire. Let's just say plainly, the lake of fire, the second death. But our sinful nature but the Holy Spirit is trying to take us to salvation, but our sinful nature is trying to take us in the opposite direction, which is to our destruction. And if we let our feelings just in the wrong direction, then that's where we're going to end up. So we have to allow the Spirit to control us. Verse 18, we see that the law is not the issue either. So we're talking about the Ten Commandments law. We're not talking about the ceremonial law that Moses brought that was nailed to the cross. That was done away with, yes, the ceremonial law. But God's Ten Commandment moral law, this is not what it's talking about. Ten Commandment law, we know, is what? It's a reflection of God's character. The law is not our means of salvation. We can't keep the law because we've already sinned. It's too late to do that. You're wasting your time if you're trying to keep the law in your own strength. But we keep the law through Christ. Christ keeps the law in us and through us. He is our means because he lived a sinless life, and we have salvation through him. So let's go to verse 19 through 21, and that will give some more information as to this conflict or comparison of the fruit of the Spirit and what's against it. So verse 19, it says, the actions of our sinful nature are obvious. King James says a little different, but here they are. Sexual immorality, impure thoughts, filthy language, recklessness, just to mention a few. But they don't end there. They also include idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, strife, hostility, and heresies. Verse 21, also envy, drunkenness, sexual perversions. There are other evils committed which I am not going to mention because you already know what they are. And Paul says, I'm warning you again, those who do these things cannot be taken into God's kingdom. So it's laying out a list. We have a list of the fruit of the Spirit, and then we have a list of what our sinful natures show our works. And these, and what's so interesting about this is, you know, this isn't just a New Testament thing. These things also listed in the Old Testament. You had witchcraft, you had idolatry, you had all these things going on, sexual perversion. It goes on now too. So it's not an Old Testament versus New Testament thing, no. It's a human thing. So now we've covered those things. Now if you look interesting at verse 19, what's it say in the King James? It says what? The works of the flesh are manifest. Exactly. So think about that now. It says the fruit of the Spirit, and then it compares the works of the flesh. Works are what we do to obtain our salvation, right? But it says the works are useless. That's not how we get our salvation. If you're working to get it, then you are not, then you're missing a point. That's why it says the fruit of the Spirit, because it comes from the Spirit, not from what anything we can do. The Spirit has to work through us. So let's go to verse 22 and 26. Now we read that earlier in King James. I'm reading the clear word now. Verses 22 through 26. It says, but the fruit which the Holy Spirit produces, now that's interesting. The fruit that the Holy Spirit produces is totally different. Love, joy, peace, patience. Now it's going to change a few words when you see that. Generosity, faithfulness, humility, and self-control. Okay? So we'll talk about temperance. Self-control, same thing. How we control ourselves, or how we allow the Spirit to control us. It says, there is no law against such things. Those who belong to Christ have crucified, that goes back to Romans 12, 1 and 2. Those who belong to Christ have crucified their sinful nature and are no longer under its control. We're no longer under the control of sin. We're no longer under the control of Satan. Christ, the Holy Spirit, is now the one controlling us, or we're allowing him to control us. 25, we get our new life from the Holy Spirit, so let's keep in step, or there's that walk with the Spirit. Let's keep in step with the Spirit and live the way he wants us to live. 26, let's not be proud and challenge each other or envy one another. So, when we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, you know, in some religions, if you went to college and you took world religions, you study how other religions operate and do certain things. And in some cultures, there is a little g God for every attribute. If there's joy, there's a God for joy. Just like, you know, there's a God, the Egyptian, there's a God for the rain, and there's a God for the sun, and there's a God for, you know, the crops and all this kind of stuff. And so there would be like a God for all these different things that people would worship. But from the Bible, we know there's only one God, right? Okay, we got some stares on some faces, so I want to make sure we're on the same page. So there's only one God. Everything comes from him. The God for all these attributes, love, joy, peace. Can you freshen it, Tim? It kind of goes a little faded sometimes. Just kind of touch it. So one God in the Bible is over all of these things. Now let's go to Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 1 through 6, and that'll bring out some more aspects there. So Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, and it says, as a prisoner for the Lord, I appeal to you to live lives worthy of your high calling as Christians to which God has called you. Be humble, patient, and gentle with each other, showing tolerance and love. That sounds like the fruit of the Spirit. Some of the same attributes are listed there. Verse 3, worship God in peace. Stay united and be guided by the Holy Spirit. Make every effort to preserve the unity given to you by the Holy Spirit, and you will be at peace with one another. Here's go into this oneness that talks about God. Verse 5, there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism. There's not a God over joy and a God over peace and a God over these things here. It's just God, the Godhead. 6, there is one God and Father who is over everything, works through everything. He works through us and now is in all of you. So God is working in us when we do these good works. It's not us doing it, it's Christ doing it through us. We're just cooperating. God says, okay, I need you to go do X, Y, Z. Somebody might have prayed, hey, I need someone to bring me some food. And God impresses upon your heart to do it. You don't know why. You just get this idea, okay, I need to go take so-and-so some food or do something for somebody. That person prayed for that. And now because you submitted to the Holy Spirit asking you to go do it, now you answered this person's prayer. What do you think that does to that person? It increases their faith. But we have to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. So let's go over some, just if you go through the Bible, you can get many examples of you if you go look up love and joy and peace. But I just looked up a few things, so we won't be here for 2 hours if I go through all of them. So we're just going to do a couple. I know somebody said, okay, thank God for that. So love. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 13. You can see that in your bulletin, on the little flyer. It says, there are three important things that will last forever. Wow, three things that last forever. We know God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, but these three things, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Joy, Romans 14, 17. God's kingdom doesn't center in what we eat or drink, but it has to do with doing what's right and with peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And as I read these scriptures, you'll notice that normally it's not going to list just one item. There'll be, just like for joy, there's peace and joy. In love, there's faith, hope, and love. It's showing there's not just one thing. You can't just have one. Okay, I got peace, but I don't have long-suffering. I don't have kindness. I don't have self-control. No, all these things have to work together. Because the Spirit is all of these things. The Spirit isn't just one of them. It's all of them. 3, peace, John 16, 33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So as Elisai mentioned in the Sabbath school lesson, there's going to be tribulation. As we get closer and closer to the end, more and more people are going to say, man, these Adventists, there are these people talking about the Sabbath. It's going to cause issues. But we have to hold firm, because there's also, you ever been in class and the teacher asked a question and nobody raised their hand? But one person says, okay, I got, then guess what? Everybody else starts raising their hand, because one person took a chance and stood firm and said, okay, I'm going to ask a question. Then everybody else that had questions, they felt more at ease to ask a question too. Remember that in class? So the same thing toward the end. The more God's people stand firm and stand out, people are going to see us more. We're going to stand out. They can say, why are they doing X, Y, Z? God, the Holy Spirit, is already working on these people's minds and hearts. We may not see it, but the Holy Spirit is working. That's why it's God's plan, not our plan. And so when we stand up and stand out, then they'll have the courage to stand up too. 4, long-suffering. Same thing as you go in some versions or places you may see patience. So long-suffering or patience. Exodus 34, 6. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious. God talking about himself. He's long-suffering. Is he long-suffering to us? Amen. I know he's long-suffering to me. Yeah, because I need some help. And abundant in goodness and truth. 5, gentleness or kindness. Colossians 3:12. God loves you dearly and has set you apart. There's that holiness. Holiness isn't some magical word that just whatever. No, holiness just means set apart. God has set us apart. The Sabbath was set apart from all the other days of the week. That's why it's special. That's why it's holy, because God set apart. Has set you apart as his own, so he wants you to be compassionate, kind, gentle, humble, and patient. 6, goodness or generosity, Psalm 23:6. We know that one in the psalm there. It says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I know some try to equate the word goodness with angels, you know, but this is an attribute, that goodness. God's goodness is going to be with us, whether it's our protection, whether it's what we need, whether it's a comforting word, God's goodness is going to be with us. 7, faith or faithfulness, Psalm 89:1. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever with my mouth, and I will make known thy faithfulness to all generations. So whose faithfulness? God's faithfulness. It's not David's, it's not Saul's, it's not Peter, it's not Moses. It's Jesus' faithfulness, God's faithfulness. If you have a strong concordance, I was looking up last night, or a couple nights ago, the word faith is all through the New Testament, but it's only found twice in the Old Testament, the word faith itself. Now, faithfulness is there, but the word faith by itself is only 2 times in the Old Testament. I thought that was kind of interesting. 8, meekness and or humility, Psalm 37:11. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. And I know we read that, think about the Beatitudes, and said the meek shall inherit the earth, and we think about the future earth. But it's now also. Now, it's not like, okay, we can go out and take somebody's land and do whatever. No, it's not talking about that. But it's saying the meek shall inherit the earth. That means everything that belongs to Christ belongs to us. And it's not just in the new earth, but it's right now. Think about it. What does it say in the Old Testament? It says, if you see your neighbor's ox and it goes in the ditch, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to go help him to get it out. Exactly. So everything that is on this earth now, in that spiritual sense, it belongs to us. So as God helps all of us, we're supposed to do what? Help each other. So in those same instances, that's what it's talking about in the now. Yeah, we're going to inherit the earth in the new, but we don't have to wait until then. We exhibit these characteristics now in this earth. Because if Jesus is in us, Jesus is helping each one of us, right? All the time. We have something that goes on, God needs some help. God sends some help. In that sense, the earth belongs to us in that manner. 9, temperance or self-control. 2 Peter 1:5-8. And besides this, given all diligence, add to your faith. Now, I like this one because just as the fruit of the Spirit lists certain characteristics, 2 Peter lists certain characteristics also. And they all go together. It's not a competition. It's not a fight. It's not a struggle. It's a union. It's completeness. So here we go. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. 6, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. 7, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, so it can't just, I got it. That's not good enough. It's got to be in you, and it says what the scripture says, and abound. That means you are sharing it with other people. They make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in all your ambitions. No, it don't say that. It says that they shall make you neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So as we exhibit all these things and we want to study more about Christ and learn more about Christ, the Spirit's going to give that to us. Amen? He's going to give that to us. We want to know more about Christ and what he does and what he did and what should I do in my life or in this situation. This comes up, what should I do? Christ is going to speak to us and let us know. He's going to give it to us. So in closing, the fruit of the Spirit is made up of 9 characteristics, as we can see, and they all originate from God, the Holy Spirit. There's no bunch of gods and, you know, each one is responsible. No, it's all come from the Holy Spirit. And going back to what we said earlier about the law is in agreement with the fruit of the Spirit also. That's why it says in verse 23 that there is no law against the fruit of the Spirit. Now, it's not saying that there's no law, no. And it's not saying, oh, there was the Ten Commandment law and now it's done away with it, so there's no law against it. That's not what it's saying. It's not opposite of the fruit of the Spirit. It doesn't compete with the Spirit. What it's saying is that the fruit of the Spirit and the law go together. That's why the law isn't against it, because it's in agreement with it. The law is in agreement with the fruit of the Spirit. If you accept the fruit of the Spirit, you got to accept the law also, because they are together. They're just like that. They're together. They're not fighting. They're not competing. There's no struggle, because it's all from the same source. So, fruit of the Spirit is one, come from one, Ten Commandments. And we say what? The Ten Commandment law. Normally, if you around in Venice a lot, you know, we don't say the Ten Commandment laws. We don't normally say that. We say the Ten Commandment law, because it says in Scripture what? If you break one, you've broken them all. So there's no here's one and here's one and here's one and you break one, these other nine you hadn't broken. No, they're all linked together. Just like this fruit of the Spirit, they're all together. So the law goes with the fruit of the Spirit. That's what the law has been done away with. So fruit of the Spirit is showing the law and the love of God, and when we do that, then the love of God is manifested in our lives. Thank you. Be blessed.